Hey, welcome to Behind the Scenes with Sonda, a podcast with a focus on tackling the challenges in the healthcare billing world. I'm your host, Sonda Kunze, and I'm here to share about the real issues in healthcare billing. On this podcast, I'll be talking about the challenges that face providers every day when dealing with these large insurance carriers, showcasing the barriers that have to be overcome just to get paid. I have over 30 years experience in all aspects of the business side of healthcare. And with my expertise, I hope to provide you with some critical information and support regarding the world of healthcare billing. Together, we can make an impact. So let's dive in. Hey everyone, another solo edition of Behind the Scenes with Sonda. Today we are going to discuss remote teams. And my theme is Pirates of the Caribbean. I know it sounds crazy, but anyone who knows me knows I can have some really crazy anecdotes. And this is one of them because I've envisioned this in my mind as being like Captain Jack Sparrow and that I have all of these souls rowing the ship underneath me. And I mean that in a vision of actually thinking of the physical ship, right? Where everybody's rowing and their souls, they've actually in the movie have passed on and they're just basically still going at it in the rowing. Now, in remote life, the only way I'm saying this is that people that don't necessarily go to an office, you don't see their physical presence, but you have their soul, right? Their soul is they want to help and they want to be part of your remote team. And they are literally doing the rowing, the hard work for the clients while I'm trying to steer the ship in the right direction so that we can continue serving our clients the way that we want to. So again, love the whole Captain Jack Sparrow thing. And really sometimes I'm as kind of crazy as that. And I love it because I really want to be there for everyone who is working with me. And so today we'll unpack a little bit about what the working in a remote environment is like. So if there's anyone out there right now running a remote company, tune in. You know how difficult it is not having people's physical presence to evaluate how they're really showing up. So this should be interesting to you. And I would love for you also to send us a note and whether you resonated with this particular podcast, whether you have some ideas you'd like to share with other people who are listening in, anything, we would love the feedback. So really, why is it even relevant or important to talk about this topic? It's because this is the way the workforce is developing. People don't want to leave home and they want work-life balance. And by the way, that could be an episode in of itself. And I'm sure you've heard a lot of the motivational speakers talk about this. There is, you know, everyone's definition of work-life balance. Being in business and running a remote team for as long as I have, 10 years or more, I would tell you that there is no such thing as work-life balance. You have to make a conscious effort to have both work going on and also to pay attention to your family members and to yourself. For goodness, this is the hardest part, is actually taking care of yourself. And it isn't until recently, until I've decided that in order to serve my clients and the people that work for me, I do have to take time off. I used to feel like it was the only way to describe it is I used to feel really guilty for taking time off, thinking I'm the owner of the business. I should be showing up more than anyone else. But anyone who works with me knows that if I show up too much and get my hand in everything, it just mucks up everything that everyone's been trying to do to make things work with the client. I mean, certainly I love my client relationships and when I can get involved to make things better. But honest to God, we're really talking about, again, the people that are rowing every day are doing the job. I don't need to go down and tell them exactly how to do their job, most of them, right? So I think, again, work-life balance is another thing, but that's what people are looking for, right? Everyone's striving for this moment where they don't have to commute, you know, 2 hours to go on the job at themselves. And they think that coming home remotely will start this work-life balance. And I think that it's a great thing. And if you have the opportunity to do it, you should. But I can tell you and those who manage a remote team know where I'm coming from. This is what we're talking about today, the difficulties we have in managing these folks, right? People are people. It's hard enough when you're in an atmosphere in the office where you can physically see people and you say, oh, they're going to the water cooler too many times, or are they in the bathroom again? I don't see them. Those are the old ways of doing things. Now we have to really rely on remote people to stay engaged during the hours that they're supposed to work and get everything done. So that talks about, you know, the key points of we've got to minimize, help them, really help these people minimize their distractions. We need to offer them flexibility. We have to measure some key performance indicators in people, right? I'm in the business of medicine, and there are a ton of key performance indicators to indicate whether or not your revenue cycle is a healthy one. And we'll definitely have a podcast on that because that's one near and dear to my heart. And I love crunching the numbers. But we will also need to find really, I'd say, unique ways of managing folks and understanding and measuring their outcomes to our clients. So right now, if you're working for a really large organization, sometimes they literally have the camera hooked up or they're counting keystrokes. And hey, really, people have, if you talk to folks, they've come up with a way to just sit and do something and move their mouse back and forward that it actually marks as doing work, or they're keystroking in some manner that's counting, right? People will find a way. Look, they find a way to do things. I find a way to be distracted from work sometimes too, because it's just a lot to be in an atmosphere that you're used to reading, doing dishes, doing laundry, sleeping. And now you're adding what traditionally was an office setting that you're going to, but now you're not going to it anymore. You're just picking up your coffee from the kitchen, walking a couple hundred feet, whatever it is, and you're turning your lights on and going into your office. The problem with this, anybody who's running a remote office or working, you know that is so hard to leave it. Now, people are disciplined, and that's the word we want to use today. They are totally disciplined to leave, and I strive to get to this disciplined space where I feel like I could leave my office. And I, honest to God, I'm on Instagram all the time listening to leaders. And really, no, girls, I don't spend my entire day on Instagram, just joking. But honestly, when I'm walking the dog or doing something like that, I'm listening to people, listening to audibles from books and again, podcasts in regards to how to stay disciplined in doing things or providing you that way of kind of motivation and et cetera. And I'm really trying my best. And I have been in this 10 years doing the remote work. So the expectation that everybody is going to be perfect is a really bad one to start if you're running a remote team. You have to meet each one of your team members where they're at. Some of them have babies, right? So there's times when they're working only when the baby is sleeping. And again, this all depends on your work environment, your company, your availability to give flexibility, and the work that people do when they're at home. Okay. I think that's really important to say that every company is a little different. We're just talking about things that you can do. So some of my tips are communication, not only in emails, because emails can really be misinterpreted big time. So it's really important to do something like Teams where you can click on the camera and say, hey, I need help with something, or is anyone out there? And we often have our team leads or our billing managers available at the drop of the hat to get onto Zoom or Teams with somebody who needs help. When we start somebody out, we do the buddy system, right? They're literally on Zoom or Teams all day long with their mentor and watching them do work and then performing the work like that. I think those are really valuable things to have, the startup with the Zooms, the availability of tagging people and mentors. Again, I think measuring KPIs, we have not mastered that to the T, but we certainly are working on it. We've done some really tremendous progress in measuring productivity. And we're finding that even with each client that differs, we have to change the way we measure something based on their work and the work that we do for them. you got to recognize people. If you go to our website, and again, you could click in the show notes, there'll be a link to our website. We have team recognition. Those are real. These are real people who are dedicated to their work, who we want to recognize publicly and say, hey, you're doing a fantastic job. We want everybody who knows anything about our company that you're with us doing a great job. They get a little bit of a gift card. They get recognized. And then on our virtual meetings, we also recognize them in front of other team members. I think recognizing good workers is another thing you need to make sure you do. It's really hard because remember, a lot of times people are in an office and they get a recognition and they hang up something in their office and people come by and go, oh, that's really great. But here, these folks end up looking like or feeling like they're an island amongst themselves. And we do everything we can remotely from actually getting sort of like fostering that you aren't an island amongst yourself. You've got to be able to measure burnout. That's really hard too, because from a remote position, you can't physically see that person burning out. You can only try to read it in emails or maybe see it in a Zoom. And honestly, this is really the only way we do it. When we physically see I might stop after a meeting and contact that person separately and say, hey, I don't know what was up today. You don't look good, or you don't sound good, or you're kind of dragging. Or maybe even I say something like, your attitude doesn't seem really great. Is there something affecting that? How can we help? If I don't have time, I make sure their team lead reaches out to them. So measure burnout. You want to make sure you're, again, just kind of reiterating, communicating well, more than just emails. You are getting on Zooms and creating mentorships within your companies. You are recognizing good workers. You're getting those key performance indicators out there for your folks that are doing the work, measuring productivity. You got to check job satisfaction. Sometimes we'll have folks that get burnout on a client and we have the ability to move them to another client within the team. But if they don't communicate that burnout, we don't necessarily notice. You know how we notice, which is really something I've learned. If you don't take a minute to watch your team and to listen to them, even if they're communicating indirectly through their actions or how they look on a Zoom, you definitely will miss out on burnout. You need to make sure that is being seen. And again, job satisfaction, like I just mentioned, is another one where if they're not doing really well and they don't like what they're doing, you got to measure that. I mean, sometimes people will just not like the job and they need to go at that point. But we have the ability over our however many clients we have, I'm going to say it's somewhere between 25 and 30 on the billing side. We have more, but just in terms of day-to-day, everyday work that has to be done on our billing clients, we have the capability of moving people around if they're not feeling well. So I think you need to, or not feeling satisfied by their job. I think you need to watch that. Same thing, managing and kind of talking about that throughout. Managing these guys are really hard. And listen, it is not just them. It's how we perceive them doing work as well. Sometimes we perceive the quiet person as not doing any work. Hey, we haven't heard from Joe. Why? What is so quiet? Why? Where's Joe been? Has he been working? Let's go look at his data. Has he been signing in every day, doing his work? Oh, yes. Is the work getting done? Yeah. Is the client happy? Yeah. Why is Joe so quiet? Maybe Joe's just a quiet guy. And yes, we do have guys in our billing company, which is really kind of cool because that's a great dynamic to have and both in seeing them grow and change and do their work and their habits and everything else. So it's really kind of cool too. You have really big differences possibly in compensation. We have to look at people the same way. What do you have experience in? What do you bring to the table? How much work am I going to give you? What is going to be your accountability? And I do have to tell everyone out there that's working, who's listening to me, who isn't in a remote position, do not expect to get exactly the same value as a remote person that you would on the job. Now, a lot of people are going to disconnect at this point or hang up. Listen, guys, what I'm talking about is this. You do have to consider you're no longer commuting. You may no longer have daycare involved. And you might, by the way, there are some employers that require absolute invoices from your daycare center to prove that you are totally dedicated. We work a little differently, good or bad. My thought process is there are ways of clearing out your day in doing only that work and taking care of your kids. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. We just have to watch that, work with the person who is on the team. And if it's not working, we make it clear that there has to be an alternative thing. But you're not necessarily paying for that anymore. You're definitely not paying for gas, and you're definitely not paying for the wear and tear on your vehicle. And by the way, I totally recognize that the compensation on the table when you're working outside the office has nothing to do with your vehicle and nothing to do with your gas or how far you drive. It has everything to do with your experience and everything else. But I think as we bring people remote and they bring their value, you pay them for their value, right? You absolutely pay them for their value and what they're worth. And that has to be determined specifically by, again, what are they bringing to the table? What are their skills? What do you expect to give them for accountability? And again, I think that we can take a little off the top for the fact that they're not commuting. We're giving this some opportunity. Maybe I should put it this way. Maybe we should take commuting off the table. If we do, let's just say we do. The flexibility piece, let's talk about it that. Let's take commuting off the table and just say, yeah, you're absolutely right. The person should get reimbursed for remote, whether or not they are driving or not, right? But it's invaluable to have flexibility. Obviously, if you're going into an office, you're not having flexibility of when you're showing up to work or not. I remember when I used to have to show up at 8 a.m. 8:05 was late and nobody liked it. And you got talked to if you were late. The flexibility of remote is there. No one's got a clock. No one's looking at you. You're not given the dirty looks when you show up to your desk later. And for that matter, most of the people I know that work with us, they're showing up right away. They show up early because that's when the kids are sleeping. They don't have anything going on. All of their commitments are at a minimum where they can get in and do some really deep work. And in fact, we applaud that. We love it because a lot of times that will get ahead of the game for the day. So difference in compensation, we'll call it a remote difference based on flexibility so that I don't get too many haters out there. All right. So again, what are the things to watch for? Emails gone wrong. The interpretation of emails these days. I mean, we'd misinterpret texts from friends. It just happens. If you are having a bad day, you're going to read an email completely different than if you're having the best day of your life. We've got problems where people don't turn their cameras on during Zoom. All right. So if you're that person who just didn't do your hair one day, okay, I get it. Sometimes I have that day. But if somebody never turns their Zoom on because they don't like to be on camera, I only have one person in my team that never turns it on, or maybe two. I'll give you two. And they're not at all. I know them well enough that that's not an issue. But for some of those that don't turn Zoom on, that you don't have the trust, you haven't built the years yet, you go, okay, why are they never on camera? Are they always in their car when we have a meeting? What's the problem? Like, this is something we just have to manage. This isn't something you normally have to manage. What about internet issues? This is the worst, right? So you have people that are in storms. This is nothing they can prevent, yet their internet goes down. But can we have a side conversation about those who, you know, darn well they haven't had a storm, and we get my internet's out and I won't be on all day. Stuff like that happens, and you got to learn to mitigate it as the owner. Very difficult. And I've learned not to, after years of looking on the Weather Channel to see, did they really have a bad weather? Was that really happening? I got out of that, right? Because really, the likelihood that they're lying is a small percentage because nobody really does that on purpose. But I have had people do that. And the ending result is if it's something that happens a lot, then you know you have somebody who isn't showing up for your client. is dedicated to the cause, understands your mission, and is willing to be part of it. So if that's happening all the time, you really should let that person go regardless. We used to have this thing when I used to show up at and was managing a physician practice. It was a very large practice. And a lot of times we had providers who we had difficulty with, and the hospital would overlook that because they were big producers. And I never understood that until I became an owner and went, but they produce so much. And honestly, no matter what, in the end, the production thing has to go. And if they're not dedicated to the mission, obviously, if they're producing, they probably are. But if you have somebody who you can't have that trust factor and know that they're on board, and just because they're producing doesn't mean the product that they're producing matches what your expectation is. So processing 100 claims a day versus 300 claims a day, you have to look at the quality. Is that actually bringing your client money? In our case, I'm talking claims because that's what we do. We go after claims. But think about your company as you listen to this. Is the person that's producing the most in terms of your measurements really helping the bottom line? You need to check that. Other things you need to do are developing schedules. Sometimes we have folks that are on Pacific time. That really is difficult in managing Eastern time meetings, or you have to make sure you look at your team as a whole. And we're broken out by teams that produce certain results for clients in terms of maybe our behavioral health team. A couple of those people will be together and our medical team will be together. And some people are transcending both, so they're in both meetings. But this can be difficult if somebody's on Pacific time versus Eastern time. So you have to figure out the way that works for the team. And if not, we record it so that they can listen to it later. And then they have to meet with their managers to make sure that they have a really good understanding. This infrastructure for accountability, I can't stress enough. I think we're still working with it on our end. We have high hopes to change that in the rest of 2023 and in all of 2024. So I don't want to say that I have managed that very well, but you really need to have infrastructure for accountability. You can't have everybody just working. You have to figure out ways to get the team to work together virtually. And then recognize, like I said, you got to figure out ways to electronically recognize, maybe on quarterly meetings, maybe a website, maybe a communication, maybe it's something that you communicate to your clients. It depends on the business that you're in. So measuring those values of your key performance indicators on your remote workers is super important. And from that, you can recognize these people. So learn those things the best you can. And if I can give you any final thoughts on this really short version of podcast here, I would say make sure that you have good communication in place. Lack of communication can cause people to become distracted and do other things if they're not communicated with exactly what their accountability is. You cannot micromanage a remote person. You can't have your camera on. Whatever these big box names, corporations are doing that, so be it. For me, I don't think that that's reasonable. And maybe they're tracking their folks a little bit better to me, but I think that slows people down and hurts the company overall as far as a trust factor. Again, you're either working or you're not. And it usually shows up in the results that you are looking for whatever services that you give. You want to make sure that you do everything you can to foster even the growth of these people in the remote positions as well, which is not easy. It's a difficult thing to do because you constantly have to reach out and say, hey, what are your goals and objectives? Is there some way that we can support you? In our business, there's a lot of certified people, so I do my best to get them CEUs and kind of work out CEUs as well for that. So hopefully, again, our little Pirates of the Caribbean anecdote was fun for you guys. If you have anything that you want to shout out for remote work, please feel free to do so. Reach out to us. We'd love to hear the feedback that you thought about with this little behind the scenes on the remote life here at Coding Advantage. Take care. Thank you so much for listening to Behind the Scenes with Sonda. Remember, you can make a difference by sharing this podcast with others who are experiencing the same struggles. The more we reach, the more chances we have to create a community of like-minded people who want to impart change to the business side of healthcare. If you love this episode, please don't forget to rate and review. Until next time, stay curious, stay inspired, and keep learning.